is the supreme reality. We're continuing with 57.5. Atra amritatva upapadanaya chaturvida kriya palatvam chavadayati. To prove that he is immortal, his being, any of the four kinds of results of activity, is here also denied. Anything in the material world, we can analyze everything. And this was done as... we're not at 57.5. We didn't read the commentary. I thought I did. Okay, I'll go back and I'll read you the translation and the commentary of the previous 57.4. The reason for his being the first cause is stated that he is the Purusha in the form of a person, and he is Purana, although ancient, also new, or in other words, existing even before the visible creation. This is also stated in Shruti. In the beginning, only the soul, capital soul, was present in a personal form. Consequently, the change of living in one life after another is denied by the word nityaha, having a personal form which is eternal. Nitya means eternal, but it also means constant, always the same. You say that somebody is anitya, it doesn't just mean that he doesn't exist forever. It means that he's unsteady. Anitya also means unsteady. Anyway, he's nitya, steady, and also eternal. This also means, as described before, he, the Supreme Lord, is complete even when he is in a medium size appearance. This denies that he has any growth. Someone who is not complete has to grow. Animals stop growing when they reach their maturity, generally. A boy grows until he's a certain age, and he stops growing. He doesn't just keep on growing until he's 10 feet tall. Or indefinitely, plants keep on growing, unlike animals. They don't stop at a certain time in their life. But growth is necessitated by being incomplete. When you're complete, you don't have to grow anymore. The Supreme Lord, his body and himself, are always complete. There's no need to grow. Even though sometimes he's not infinite in size, sometimes his appearances are moderate size, so that he can associate with his devotees. Okay. Continuing, he is happy without interruption. He's always appearing happy. This denies the change of transformation. Transformation means that you change the way you are. Your qualities change, your form changes. It also indicates, I think, it indicates also producing byproducts, like living beings have offspring. These are forms of transformation. The shape, the qualities of the thing change, or the thing splits up or produces byproducts. This is transformation. But he's happy with without interruption. Because he's happy, he doesn't change. Well, anyway. Yeah, we can understand psychologically, people who are dissatisfied feel like they need to change. Someone who is happy the way he is doesn't need to change. Continuing, here the word sukha is used in the masculine gender. That's a no-no. Sukham is neuter in the dictionary. But by Vedic usage, in the Vedas, liberty can be taken to put words that would normally be considered in the wrong grammatical form. You can take liberties. Similar to the word ananda, being used as a neuter in the words Brahman is pure consciousness and bliss. Ananda is supposed to be masculine. It's put in the neuter in that Upanishadic statement. That's also liberty. Liberty allowed in the Vedic language. Continuing, he is also incorruptible. This denies decay, the next kind of change. And he is immortal, which denies destruction. Brahma said all these things. Where's the words? 57.1. I went too far up. Excuse me just a second. Lost my place. Brahma said, Nityo Ksharo Jasrasuko. He's Nitya, constant, eternal. He's Akshara, never decaying. Akshara means decay. Ajasra Sukho. He has unrestricted happiness. Niranjana, no contamination. Anyway, these other words haven't been mentioned yet. But these are all coming from Brahma's statement. Okay. He is also incorruptible, Akshara, which denies decay, and he is immortal, Amrita, which denies any destruction. Well, that covers all six changes. He's not subject ever to any of them. The reason for his being complete, Purna, is the next word in Brahma's statement. The reason for his being complete is stated that he is unlimited and free from duality, which means that he is free from limitation by space and time, and also free from the difference of separate objects, because everything is being his energy. I'm sorry, everything else being his energy has no basis of existence separate from him. Okay, now we read the commentary. According to dictionaries, the word Purana means belonging to old times. Here, however, Srila Jiva offers a novel analysis of the word, breaking it into two parts, Pura, old, and Na, short for Nava, or new. That's a little peculiar. Usually Na, the one syllable, doesn't mean new. But Jiva Goswami's seeing that there. Then the primeval cause of everything existed before anything else was created. And it will continue by itself after everything else has been annihilated. Thus, the primeval cause of everything is both the oldest and the newest. The soul's transmigration from one body to another involves drastic changes for him, for the soul. But the soul himself is not changed when he has to give up one life for a different one. Krishna, the original soul of all souls, certainly is free from the effects of this kind of change involved in transmigration. His body is Sanatana Murti, perpetually the same. He doesn't have to grow to become his full self. Because he is a Jasrasukha, happy with no interruption, we can understand that he never undergoes any change in physical or mental disposition. In material life, gross transformations of appearance happen more readily than subtle changes of the mind. Yeah, it's hard to change the subtle body. In fact, you take it with you from one life to the next. The gross body changes much more quickly and easily than the subtle body. You can change your physical constitution. You can go on a diet and lose 20 pounds. Or you can get old. Things change. But to change the subtle body is much more slow, and it doesn't happen so easily. One can carry the same mentality through several lives without changing it. So it's easy to lose a few pounds of fat, but it's not easy to lose your false ego. That's very hard to give up. So, therefore, in material life, gross transformations of appearance happen more readily than subtle changes of the mind. Even when a soul discards many gross bodies, his subtle body changes only very slowly, and he cannot discard it until he achieves final liberation. You can't get rid of it. It may change gradually, but you can't give it up, the subtle body, until you achieve complete liberation. The Supreme Lord is never encumbered by these material coverings, subtle or gross bodies. The liturgical dialect of the Vedic Sanskrit takes more liberties with grammatical forms than the classical language of the epics and the Puranas. One case or gender often becomes substituted for another in Vedic texts, such as the neuter word, anandam, in the place of the masculine, ananda, in the Taittiriya Upanishad. Brahma, speaking, takes the same kind of liberty when he says ajashra sukaha. And the Bhagavatam, which often indulges in Vedic forms, is not shy to record the phrase as Brahma said it. It didn't edit because the grammar was old-fashioned. The Bhagavatam doesn't mind old-fashioned Vedic grammar there, because the Bhagavatam is proud of its connection with the Vedas. So sometimes the wording and the grammar is a bit Vedic in the Bhagavatam. And that's a challenge to Sanskrit scholars. They're very often afraid to approach Bhagavatam because the language is difficult and sometimes archaic, old-fashioned. Okay, are there any questions? Madan Mohan Prabhu.
Could you please little clarify the? Could you please clarify the again the logic behind stating that he's happy without interruption because which denies transformation? Looks like by transformation here we mean very narrow, not narrow, but limited category of transformations enacted by something external to us, because some transformations we're happy with because we enact them ourselves. And so does Krishna, because he has the Shakti Parinam Vada, this transformation of his energies. He himself takes different forms, even though essentially he doesn't transform, but he does enjoy variety, and even his transcendental qualities, as we learn from the Bhagavatam, increase all the time. So it looks like by transformation here we mean something which is imposed on us with against our will. Is that the logic behind here?
Wait, transformation is something that's imposed on you against your will. No, I don't think so. You may argue that in the material life all transformations are imposed on us against our will. But that's not the point. That's not what the idea of transformation is talking about. It's a logical corollary of transforming, that it's involuntary. But we're not arguing about the Lord's free will. We're arguing about he doesn't change. His body doesn't change. So, well, there are six kinds of changes. We're talking about all different kinds of change. If we look at the other five, whatever's left over is transformation. It's not birth. It's not growth. It's not dwindling. And it's not death. That's four. What's the fifth one?